And praise the Lord for that. We need to be remembered of what the Lord has done in our lives. Again, it's a joy to see each of you. We're going to look into the scriptures this morning, but I want to thank you for being here and remind you, in case you didn't hear already, tonight we have a special service. It'll be a great time. We've got several things that will be included in it, and one, Brother Muldoon, will be here, and I want you to get to know him and get to meet him. And we're looking forward to doing that even this evening. And then one of our missionaries, Joe Martinez, he'll stop in and just give us a quick word and pray for us. And we'll get to see him for a brief moment. And then Brother Larry Harrison, who is comes in from time to time with a lot of good books and Bibles and different things. Those will be set up in the lobby tonight when you come in. And so hope you'll get here early and get some good books and some CDs and some different things that I'm sure he'll have with him. And he'll be here tonight as well. So we've got a lot tonight, but we'll get you out in good time. We'll have a great time together, and we are certainly looking forward to all that God does, not only this morning, but tonight, and looking forward to that. I want to remind you, Brother Dan went over to another service, but I'll have to remind you again when he's in here, but he's a granddad again, so don't get too close with his phone because he'll want to show you pictures of his little granddaughter. And so Brother Dan and Miss Carmen, their son who lives out west, had a little girl, and so they are doing well, and we're certainly thankful for that. Well, look in the Bible, if you would, at Exodus, the second book of the Bible, Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34, while you're finding your place there, I did hear this story about these folks that went to heaven on the same day. There was a pastor, and there was a lawyer, and then there was a cab driver from all places, New York City. All went to heaven on the same day, and they were showing them around to the different mansions where they would be living. And this hurts my heart, grieves me toward the core. The pastor got the smallest of the mansions. And so they said, here you go. But they all went on around to see the rest of them. And the pastor got the smallest one. That's yours. There you go. And then went on down to the lawyer. And he got bigger than the pastor. And I said, well, that's looking nice. And then he went on down to the New York cab driver and New York City cab driver. And he got the biggest of all of them. And the pastor said, listen, this is strange. I've preached faithfully the King James Bible, and I've led the church, and I've pastored, and I've married, and I've buried, and I've done all of these things. Why do we get, as we come to those houses, why am I the smallest and there's others? And he said, well, Peter said, well, it's kind of like this. He said, you're here and the smallest one because, honestly, we have lots of pastors, and so it was nothing special. Moved to the lawyer, and he said, this is the first lawyer we've seen in a long, long time. Say, I understand. What about the cab driver? He said, well, it's like this. Pastor, while you worked and preached, people slept. While he worked and drove, people prayed. So, it's all in how much results are in there. So, Exodus chapter 34, verse number 29. I want to preach for just a little while about a wonderful meeting with God. A wonderful meeting with God, Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. This is going to be when Moses goes back up and meets with the Lord again. You remember he got the Ten Commandments, the tables, and he came down and those got destroyed. He goes back up to the mount and has a time with God, and God gives him the tablets. And it came to pass, verse 29, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he had commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. I want to preach about this wonderful meeting of God. And I believe, give us something that will truly help us as we're trying to navigate through our lives. I'm afraid that there's something that many, many Christians miss. And because of that, it cripples them in their Christian life. I believe that there are many people in our area, especially, that know the Lord. But as far as having a powerful, vibrant walk with God, they could not say that they have that. You say, preacher, I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, hold on, I think we'll get to it. But I believe what I'm going to preach to you this morning in the next 20 minutes will revolutionize our walk with the Lord, our relationship with Christ, if we'll let it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in verse number 28, before we started reading, that there were 40 days and 40 nights that Moses had communed with the Lord. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. You know, I believe we have a struggle in our lives to break away from what's going on and just meet with the Lord. Now, I could apply this message to you in your marriage as well. We have problems in our marriages because we don't pull away and just talk to our spouse. But specifically, I want to talk this morning, because that's what the Scriptures indicates here, that Moses had taken some time where he pulled away from the people, he pulled back away from everything else, and he communed with the Lord. I believe there's 800 and some roller coasters in America. Now, in my estimation, that's 800 and some too many, because I don't like them. It's not a roller coaster, but the last even carnival ride I rode on was a tilt-a-whirl. I call it the tilt-a-whirl of death. I was just watching. This little teenage girl was over there with her hand so close to the lever that she could have stopped that baby anytime she wanted. You know, the tilt-a-whirl is the one that they have those little, looks like a little candy or ice cream cone almost, with a little bonnet on it, and they spin and it turns and they spin. It's got a clown on. That particular one had a picture of a clown, but it wasn't funny, because I was with one of them, Allie or somebody, Maddie, so I was getting on there because we were in this little amusement park, Beach Bend. And I was wanting to be a good dad, and I wanted to not only eat cotton candy and all the rest, but I wanted to ride the rides. And I got on that thing, and And like I said, every time that thing would come around, I would spin, and I would see that little teenage girl over there, and I'd say, Lord, please drop her hand and stop that handle. Somebody stop it. I got to get off. But that's not even a roller coaster, but I think 800 and some roller coasters in America. There was, not too many years ago, there was 50 that opened that year. In the last couple of years, it's been less because of COVID and things. But you know, all those rides are at amusement parks. Now, if we did a grammar lesson today, we would know that musing is where that amusement comes from. Ah, put before the amusement, means that we don't even have to think about it. Musing means that you deliberate, you think, you ponder, you sit a spell and think on it. So when you muse on the Scriptures, or you muse on a book, or you muse on how good you have, what that means is you're just sitting there and thinking about it. Now, if you're going 358 mile an hour upside down and loop to loop, you don't have time to think. So that truly is an amusement park. And that's good. I'm glad different people like them. I tell Amy every time we go now that I don't ride anything, I take the most expensive walks in America. Sometimes we'll go to different places. You got to pay $100 to get in there, and all I do is just walk around and hold stuff, because my kids are up on those things. But our family and I, we were walking around the Lockerly Arboretum in Milledgeville, Georgia, some years ago. I was down there for a meeting. And we were looking at this big old house that had been, it was stately still, but had been some estate. And it was a wonderful, beautiful place, and they were giving tours of it. And I was telling Jared, as we were looking through there, I said, imagine when this place was at its peak, would have been before electricity, before air conditioning, before iPads, televisions, internet, all the rest. And this arboretum that we were at had beautiful grounds behind there. And I told Jared, I said, some of these trees would have been here 120 years ago. But can you imagine on a hot summer day, this was in outside of Atlanta, in Milledgeville, can you imagine on a hot summer day, humid, you would have, the last thing you want to do was stay inside. You'd want to get out underneath one of these trees and maybe with a book or maybe just sitting there and just thinking. We've gotten to a place in our society because of all of our technological advances, we don't think much anymore. And I said, oh, I know that. I got a kid. He don't think at all. I don't mean that. I'm talking about we don't sit and ponder, whereas it used to be that we would sit out on the porch because it's cooler on the porch than it was inside. Some person, just as a little side note, one person was looking at what they call the degradation of society, and I wouldn't disagree with that. And he said it wasn't TV that did it, although that may be part of it. He said, I believe, this one author said, I believe it's when we air conditioned all of our houses. And you think about it for a minute. He said, because at that point, we quit going out in the yards and sitting talking to families. We all stayed inside. And we didn't get out into nature. But regardless of that, my point this morning is that we don't muse much anymore. The little word M-U-S-E means think, ponder, contemplate. But I want you to see here that that's exactly what Moses was doing. I say to you, first of all, that Moses stayed until God had spoken. Look back in verse number 29, if you would. It came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Moses stayed 40 days in verse number 28. Moses stayed until God spoke to him. You say, preacher, I can't stay in the morning with my Bible until God speaks to me because I've got to get to work or I've got to do this. And oftentimes that's our problem. And you may not be able to twist your schedule around to that, but you ought to find a place, time and place that you can get alone with the Lord and shut everything else out and just spend some time contemplating. Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, God commands us to. But number two, it works. And number three, it helps you recenter on what's important. We have a lot of talk today about refocusing. Well, long before some New Age guru said you need to focus, refocus, God was saying that you need to come apart from the things of this world, the cares of this world, and get focused at that point on the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. And now we get focused on the written Word of God, the Word of God, the Bible that we have before us. I'm saying this morning that Moses stayed until God had spoken. In Psalm 1, verse number 2, the Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Many thousands have seen the World War II memorial in D.C. My wife and I used to take groups from the Christian school that was at the church we served at. We would go along as chaperones and been all over D.C. But in 2004, the World War II memorial opened up. One particular person, J. Bernard Dahl, was a great contributor to that. He was a funeral home operator, owner, and operator of several. But he had contributed, he raised funds and raised awareness for it, but he never thought he would go. He died in 2018, some 4 years ago, at 93, but never thought he would go, but he got to go on April 28, 2014, 4 years before he passed. He said, "I was awestruck." He said, "I wish I had a week to see it instead of just a day." He stood there speechless. And if you've ever seen pictures or been there of the memorial, it talks about the different theaters of war and all that was going on. He said, "I just stood there speechless." Can I tell you who didn't stand there speechless? When we've been there at different times, there'll be kids that bebop through just because it's another bunch of stone and fountains in the middle means very little to some teenager that doesn't understand the impact of what brought about in this great world of ours to bring that monument to pass. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying when things impact us in that level, it has such a greater staying power in our mind. And so what I see Moses is so in tune with the Lord, and Moses decides he's going to stay there. I understand you may not have a 40 days literally to go and spend apart from everything else, but you ought to have your 40 days sometime. You ought to have your morning time sometime. You ought to have that getaway for a couple hours sometime. You ought to have that time and that place where you get away with the Lord and you say, Lord, it's so good to be back in your presence. You say, preacher, aren't you always in the presence of the Lord? Yes, you are, but there's something special about when you divorce yourself from all that's going on in your life, you take a break from everything that's happening and pulling at you, and you say, Lord, it's just you and me. Moses stayed until God had spoken. I want you to look in verse number 30. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh. Look over in verse 33. And until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. Let me give you this. First of all, Moses stayed until God had spoken. But number two, the people knew it. Now, our face is not going to shine when we get alone with the Lord and read His Word for a while. Our face is not going to shine. But see, you understand that Moses was so close to that Shekinah glory of God. Moses was so close in the presence of God that literally, as the Scripture says, his face shined about like that. And the people knew that he had been with God. I don't think that you need to come into a room and say, listen, folks, just want you to know, I've been on God patrol. You don't have to do that. But you spend enough time with the Lord, people will notice about how you handle problems differently. You spend enough time with the Lord, your family will notice that things don't just rock and reel your moorings like it does everybody else. We spend enough time with the Lord, people will notice that there's something different. I always chuckle when people say, well, we're not allowed to talk about all that religious stuff at work. Listen, I understand that if you aren't allowed to, then you ought to obey the rules of the employer that you employed at. That's being a good employee. But I always chuckle because of this. They can't stop what's going on in here. They can't stop when some problem comes down to work and you don't get mad and blow your top like every other employee did. When some bad news comes to you, they can't stop you saying, well, I'm going to pray about that for you. And we understand that the people had a knowledge that he had been with the Lord. One of the sweetest Christians I've known is John Christner. He was one of the founding members of the church that we served at in Iowa. Life had handed him so many tough cases, lost his arm in a combine accident and different issues and sickness of children and lost his wife eventually. But through all of that, one of the sweetest Christians I have ever known. What makes someone like that? That's what I wanted to ask John Christner. And as he would recount to you, as he did to me, you just got to stay close to the Lord. How do we explain it when people are going through the loss of their dearest person on this earth to them, yet they keep a good, sweet, loving spirit? Well, they must have had somebody that they were close to in heaven, not just on this earth. How do we explain when somebody has the dreaded C word of cancer, yet they don't get bitter and hard and harsh? Instead, they say, well, if the Lord's allowed it, then He can get me through however He wants to. How do we explain that? I would submit to you this morning that we explain that because they've been spending time with the Lord. The people knew that he had been with God. I read a story years ago about Cheryl McGinnis. She, like many other people, had started off September 11, 2001 in normal fashion, but her husband was a pilot. He had given her a pre-dawn kiss long before sunlight, and he had gone off to his job. And she didn't think anything of it until she started getting messages from friends and then turned on the television and started looking and seeing that one of the planes of the company that her husband was a pilot for, co-pilot, crashed. By mid-morning, she understood that one of the planes of the company that her husband was a pilot for crashed in. But she couldn't tell. She didn't know which one he was flying or which one he was on. until there's a big black SUV that pulled up in her driveway. She said, her own words, five people got out, five men, four in suits, one was a priest, and had come to tell her that her husband was the pilot, co-pilot on the first plane that went into the towers on 9/11. She had to go collect her children from school, and so she told her child that Jesus called Daddy home. And if you read the story about her, she locked arms with the Lord and wrote a book eventually, Beauty from Ashes, Beyond Ashes. And through her book and through speaking engagements and different ways that she's been able to connect with people that are going through trials and great turmoil, she's been able to use that to encourage people. But can I tell you why she's able to encourage people? First of all, her connection to the Lord. But because she's been there where other people are. But my friend, we don't travel through to the other side and get there with flying colors, as it were, without a strong connection to God. I told you, I believe that many of our Christians that we know, friends and people in this room and ourselves, we're Christians, yes, and we know the Lord. But we're having some of the same struggles that the world is having, and we're not able to overcome. One mighty great secret is we need to spend time alone with the Lord. Moses stayed until God had spoken. Not only that, but the people knew that he had been with God. And can I give you this last one before I quit this morning? Look back in verse number 34 if you would. I give you this last point. When Moses was with God, all coverings were off. Verse number 34 again. The Bible says, but when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. He came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. I'm saying this, I'd like to apply it in this way this morning if you'd let me. When you get in with that time with the Lord, you may have to put on some coverings when you're out there with talking with everybody else. You may have to keep a strong face on. You may have to zip it up. You may have to, as one parent says, dry up. It's funny how parents do. They're the ones that beat the kid half to death, and they say, "Now dry up, quit crying." I'm like, "Dad, you're the one that got me in this position." You may have to, when you talk to everybody else, say, you may have to put that straight face on. You may have to quit crying. You may have to make it look like everything's all right. But my friend, there is a friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to be brave in there. The Bible says we can come boldly under the throne of grace. And my friend, when you come to prayer, as Moses, when he took that time with the Lord, he took the veil off. He was just him and the Lord. And my friend, you and I need to have that time today and tomorrow and the next day when you're around everybody else. I understand you got to dress up and you got to keep it all together. But my friend, you've got a wonderful Savior who loves you, and he knows your frailty, and he knows your frame, and he knows your shortcomings, and he loves you anyways. And you get to that place where you take all the pretense off. It's amazing to me that we sometimes try to fool the Lord. You say, how would you ever try to do that? Well, it doesn't make any sense, but we do it. Let me tell you what I mean. We'll want something. We'll want it bad. Well, as a kid, you know, God, you hear that my dad would preach and other people would preach, you know, whatsoever thou ask, believing, you shall receive. I said, oh, I do want it. I do want it. I do want it. I do want it. Lord, give it to me. But I found it didn't quite work that way. But when we get to that place, we get to that place where all pretenses are off. We start meeting with the Lord. Let me tell you what I mean. We get that place, Lord, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. And then when we get to a place where we're talking to God, God, I want it so that you can be glorified. I've said, I heard of this one pastor, he has him a boat, and he's named it Visitation. That way when the people call the office, they can say, is the pastor in? No, he's out on visitation. Now, I'm not a boat lover, but I am a car lover. And I've tried to pray and say, Lord, if I had that new mid-engine Corvette, I could get to my visit so much quicker. Lord, you don't know how this church would grow if I had that car I wanted. Oh, Lord, oh, that's not for me, God. It's all for your glory. You see how easy it is for us to try to be so have such audacity to try to twist things to where we're dishonest before the Lord. Now, don't look at me like I'm the only one who's ever done that. We'll try to ask for some things, and we know deep in our heart that we're asking amiss, as the Bible calls it. My friend, I'm challenging you in your spiritual walk with God, in your sweet fellowship and relationship with Christ, you're just going to have to put all that pretense off of there. You're just going to have to push all that stuff back, tear all the layers off, and get down to where it's just you and the Lord. I worked for Larry Brown for 3.5 years in Iowa as the assistant pastor. And one time while he was gone, some folks in the church wanted to redo. The church was built, had the last remodel in the early 1900s. The church was built in the 1800s. And so beautiful woodwork everywhere, but most of it had been covered up by years and years and years of paint and painting again and painting again and painting again. And so some folks in the church got the idea that one time while he was on a revival meeting or vacation or something, they were going to take his office and they were going to, all that beautiful woodwork that had been covered over by multiple many layers of paint, they were going to peel all that off. That's quite a project. We put that stripper on there and let it soak into all that paint. Many of you have done the same thing. And then you take that and then you rub it and rub it and rub it and rub it and get it down. Some of the most beautiful wood was used in that as they built that against some stained glass windows like we have in here, back in his office as well. Some of the most beautiful wood was hiding underneath thick paint, probably 3/8 of an inch thick in some places, seemed like, but it wasn't. But you know when we got to the real beauty? When we got all the other things stripped away. And you know when you and I are going to have a sweet fellowship with the Lord? And you know how your grandma, that you thought so much of her spiritual walk, you know what she had? She had a real relationship and fellowship with Jesus Christ. We want what she had, but we oftentimes don't want to take the time to get it how she got it. But my friend, there's no quick track. There's no fast track, I should say. And when Moses came to God in verse number 34... all the other coverings, the veil literally came off because it didn't need to be there. You may need to keep some things from other people, but you don't need to keep anything from the Lord. And so this morning I've given you this, and I believe that the Lord has given it to me, this great truth about this wonderful meeting with God. Moses was a great man, but he was great and honest before God. He stayed until God moved on him, which maybe is the secret that we're missing. And that's why I come to you today. How about you? When was the last time that you just said, Lord, I want to speak to you and I want to hear from you? You say, hear from him. I don't mean physical with my physical ears. But you just stayed there until he allowed you to know that everything was going to be all right. Aren't there some people in your life, I hope there are, that just have a calming, soothing presence? When you get around them, everything's going to be all right. Well, that's only true to the degree that they can fix things. But my friend, when you get in the presence of the Lord and you realize that He can make everything all right, I'm challenging you this week to carve out some time. Maybe you drive an hour each way to get to work. How about you try this? Shut off all the news. It's not that good news anyways. Just shut it off. Shut off all the other things and just commune with the Lord. Keep your eyes open. But commune with the Lord. Just pray. Maybe that means we need to get up earlier. Maybe we need to stay up late. I don't know. And you need to shut some things off, whatever it is. I'm challenging you. You'll find that so many of the problems that we worry about, I believe, will just subside. Or God will show us the wisdom to get through if we'll only spend the time with Him. And I challenge you as my Christian brother, Christian sister, to do just that. Perhaps you're here today and you say, well, I don't even know how to do that because I'm not sure that I would even know what to say when I talk to God. Maybe you're not saved. The Bible calls it being born again. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, I know all about the Lord, or I know something about Him, but I don't know that I'm saved. If that's you, my friend, you need to have a meeting with the Lord as well. Because on the old rugged cross that we signify by the plaque up here on the wall behind me, the old rugged cross that Jesus died on, He died on it for you and for me. And maybe you're here and you've never taken the time to receive Christ into your own life as your own Savior. Perhaps you're here and you've been worried about the guilt that you feel. Well, can I tell you what that is? That's just the weight of this sin and the weight of your life and the weight of our lifestyle. And you'll never get underneath out from under that without asking Jesus Christ to come into your life and forgive your sins. The wonderful song says, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. This morning, if you're here and you're not sure that your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, I say that song, Jesus saves. He wants to save you. If you're here and you're not saved, in just a moment we'll stop and there'll be somebody right down the front that would have a Bible and would love to open it and show you how you could ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. I hope you do. Perhaps you're here and you're a Christian, but there's something you need to do, and it's what I just preached about. You need to commit to have that time with the Lord. We're zipping through everything, coming and going. Sometime we're like those roller coasters going however many miles an hour they're going. We're just zipping through everything. But instead, we need to stop for a little while and spend some time with the Lord. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, thank You for this time. I thank You for everybody that's come this morning. I pray, dear Lord, that every Christian, every saint of God in this room would take the challenge to break away from everything else this week sometime on a regular basis and spend time with You. Lord, I pray they'd get real with You as Moses got real and took that veil off. I pray they'd get real with You and just be who they really are and let You minister to them. And Lord, I pray if there's one or several that are in here, they're not sure they're saved, but they've got a great weight on them. I pray they'd have the courage, dear Lord, to step out. Just let me or somebody from the Bible show them how they can be sure they're saved. And Lord, we'll ask You to do these things in the precious name of Jesus. Well, thank You for it. Would you stand together as our organ plays? And if God's speaking to your heart, maybe you need to commit right there where you're sitting. Lord, He hit it on the head in my life. I've been going so fast, doing good things. I've been zooming from one event to the next. But I need to take some time to spend with You. You don't have to be down at this altar to make a decision. You make a decision right there in your seat. Just say, Lord, that's me. He got me. And I'm going to spend time this week communing with You, musing over Your goodness, thinking about what You've done. Would you commit that to the Lord there where you are? And then if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not sure you're saved, would you step out and come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you be sure that heaven's your home, Jesus is your Savior. You don't have to worry about your sins anymore. Would you step out and come? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Maybe you're saved, but you need to be baptized and you'd like to do that. We know of one we're going to do this week, and we're thanking God for that. Maybe you'd like to join them. Like to follow Christ in baptism. She'll just play another verse. If God's speaking to your heart, this altar is open for you. Now, Lord, we're certainly thankful for the time you've given us in your house. I'm thankful for every face that's here this morning, dear Lord. I'm thankful for the ones that have joined us via the radio live that have listened. Thank you so much for them. Thank you for everyone that's been watching on live stream. Lord, I praise you and thank you for what you've done right here in our midst. I pray that you would encourage your people to get with you this week. And we'll thank you for all of it. We certainly love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. I challenge you to be back tonight. We're going to have a great time. We get to hear from Brother Muldoon and see what God has led he and his wife and to do. We're certainly looking forward to that. We'll have a good time. If you're a book person, you like old books and some new books as well, they'll be in the lobby on your way in. Come early and get those from Brother Harrison, and then we'll have some good time together as well as we just meet together as the family of God. Thank you for being in church this morning, Brother Muldoon. Would you all slip out to your table that way if you want to get to meet them? God bless you for that, and we're looking forward to getting to spend some time with them. Thank you for being in church this morning. You're dismissed.